This is Season 8, Episode 4 of Beyond the Illusion, Pendulum Commands with Eric Hunter. In this episode, we have a conversation with Eric Hunter. Eric is an expert in pendulum alchemy and has written several books on the topic. His advice on how to use a pendulum, along with specific commands, is both interesting and compelling. In fact, it was so compelling that I actually found it worth trying for myself. After our conversation with Eric, I purchased a couple pendulums from him, and I tried his suggestions for myself. And I have to say, there's definitely something there. I've had some pretty dramatic changes occur in my life since I started using the pendulums, along with Eric's recommended commands. Let's go to that conversation now with Eric Hunter, Tiana Roser, and myself, Tim Howe.
Eric, you've been on our podcast before, and we had a wonderful interview with you talking about pendulum alchemy. And now you have a new book, Pendulum Commands. So I thought maybe you could start off by telling us what inspired this new book of yours.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. Yes. So I just recently published this book, The Pendulum Healing Commands Guide, Part 2. And the inspiration was I wrote a Part 1 that everyone really liked. And they kept asking me over and over again, when is the Part 2 coming out? And so it was kind of funny because I wasn't really, when I wrote the first one, I just called it Part 1. I don't know why. I didn't know that it would be such a successful hook that everyone would ask me for a Part 2. So what I did with this book is I did a lot of soul searching, because the process of writing commands, it can be kind of challenging for a lot of people. And so I get asked this question all the time, like, well, what pendulum command should I use? And in a second, I'll back up and maybe explain what those are to people. But basically, it's like a process where you have to write down all these different statements of your intentions or what you'd like to have happen. There are different ways to think about it. You can think of them like prayers, almost like things you wish would occur. Or you could think about it like the law of attraction or manifestation, like things that you want to have manifest or happen or not happen in your life or the lives of others. And in the language of the pendulum world, we call them pendulum commands, because it's like a directive. You're commanding that something happens. Now, we always say for the highest good of all concerns, so we're not slave drivers. It's not completely forcing our will on reality. But yeah, so the inspiration was people wanted the book. And then I did some soul searching and I thought about it, because I was having a lot of difficulty writing it. So I think it's been like many years, like 3 or 4 years since I wrote the first one. And so I was trying to figure out, like, well, how do I approach this? What do I do? And the real turning point was when I realized that people were using this book every day. Like, they would tell me that they were literally using this book every day, and it was changing their life. The first version, it was changing their lives. So I realized that it's almost like spiritual work almost, or something like that. It's helping people on a daily basis. So once I pivoted from the point of view of, oh, I have to write now thousands of these statements, to, wow, I'm really going to be helping a lot of people. How can I really try to provide valuable information that complements the first book or extends upon the first book to help make people's lives better, help make their loved ones' lives better, help make their pets' lives better, help make the world better? So that was kind of the inspiration. So that was a long answer. So, yeah.
No, that's wonderful. I'm so curious, because you have a bunch of different topics in there, areas that people might want to use the pendulum to improve their lives. Yeah, you have some really interesting ones in there, like ancestor worship and Akashic records and things that I'm like, ooh. And then right now I'm having sleep issues. So I was like, oh, sleep. Okay, I need to look at this one.
Well, not but, totally sleep issues, but cool. Yeah.
Has a chapter. But it's useful, right. I imagine you kind of brainstorm, or I don't know if you just tune in a meditative state and receive these, or I think you're a very creative person from what I've seen. You have a lot of ideas. So then do you do some sort of testing protocol with each of them as you come up with them? Do you have like a group of people, maybe from one of your class, and you're like, hey, try this one out and tell me how it works? Or I'm curious how you fine tune which commands you end up using in your book.
Oh, yeah, sure. Of course. That's a great question. So what I do, there are several things. So what I do is I listen a lot to my audience. So Every day, I have a Facebook group that has thousands of people, and every day I'm on there for at least an hour a day just answering questions and responding to people's posts, and I'm replying to things and I'm answering private messages. And I don't get paid directly for that, but it helps me to understand like what do people want? Like that's a lot of the chapters that were in this book, like that one ancestor worship, that was a straight up suggestion from one of my people in that group, because I put a poll in my Facebook group, like, what do you want in the new book? And so someone said, I want something about venerating my ancestors or getting more connected to my ancestors. And then I have a certification program, and one of the students did like a project on that entire topic. So anyway, where I'm going with this is I listen to what people are doing, and then we're constantly trying things out. Like, I know I've had my own experiences with the ancestor worship. This student of mine did this extensive project on it where she did like practice sessions, wrote this detailed protocol. And we talked a lot about what worked and didn't work. Now, I didn't use any of her ideas, but just the concept was there in my mind that it's possible to do this. And then you just test them out. Some of them, like the sleep chapter, I just know from experience of working with, I guess, thousands of people at this point and responding to all these messages by email, Facebook, Instagram, whatever, just like people say, I can't sleep. And I'll say, okay, well, did you try like making your crown chakra smaller? Did you try changing the color of the energy of your room? And then a lot of times they'll write back, oh yeah, that totally worked. Oh my God, thanks. That's amazing. Or on other cases, people send me messages about something they tried by email or in various ways I get from people. And then I'm also constantly experimenting. So the topics in the book were either extensions on the first book or things that people just straight up requested for me to cover. And then a lot of it is just I've had like experiences like in the electronics section that seems so far-fetched. Like, yeah, you're going to spin your pendulum over your phone. It's going to work. But the crazy thing is that I've had like dozens of people in my Facebook group send in unsolicited things saying my car wouldn't start. I took out my pendulum. I did a few commands and it started. Now, of course, you should get the car checked out if that happens. but it's ridiculous. Like people say my phone was dead. We couldn't get it to work no matter what we did. We did some pendulum commands on it and the phone started working again. Okay, so I never would have thought of that on my own. I mean, I do it for the internet all the time. Like to keep an internet signal, like that actually has worked pretty well for me personally. Like when the internet's getting on the fritz, I'll do some pendulum. Or if there's a storm coming, I'll do some pendulum that the internet will keep working, and it often does, or the power will often stay on. One of my colleagues, Robin Shade, she said that like everyone in her neighborhood, the power was out, but her house, the power was still on. I don't know if she did pendulum around it. Anyway, so that's like another thing too. So that's how I know that this stuff works is I get feedback. I do it myself, first of all. And a lot of things that are unique in there are my ideas. But then also I get a lot of feedback from other people. They tell me what worked and what didn't work. And I listen to all that and I try to incorporate it. So it's like an organic process. But then the commands themselves, I have a whole chapter in this book on how to make commands in a really simple way. It's like a simple way to make pendulum commands. And I actually use that process when making the book. So basically, in its simplest thing, a pendulum command is like you just come up with some kind of word or phrase that you really like. For example, I love the one I witness because it's related to quantum physics. What you see becomes real. So you just say I witness and you just remember that. Like it becomes your mantra or your catchphrase, I witness. And then you just add on whatever you want. So I witness this interview going wonderfully. I witness having a wonderful day. No, I witness anything you want. So you just think, all you have to remember is I witness. And then all you have to do is spin your pendulum and just think about what you want. Like, I witness myself feeling healthy. No, I witness myself having wonderful relationships with other people. I witness myself being pay all my bills, whatever it is you want to witness. Or yeah. I witness this person leaving me alone. I witness this situation coming to a close. Whatever you want, it can be positive, so-called negative, anything you want. So that's the process, is that people told me what they wanted. I listened to them. I tried to incorporate it. I get feedback, right? I test the stuff myself. Also, people give me feedback on what's working, what's not working. They also tell me about novel things that they were doing, like fixing phones and things I wouldn't have even thought of. And then I use like sort of a formula to create the commands. And I try to think about what sounds good and what would be easy for people to say and powerful. That's in a nutshell. I think I answered the question.
Yeah, you did. And for the people who are just listening, every once in a while, Eric will pull up a pendulum and he'll wave it in front of the camera, and they're actually quite nice and pretty large, larger than I would have expected some of them. And yeah. So maybe we could go back, and I know you did this last time you were here, but maybe you could give us like a little refresher on the mechanics of using a pendulum and where they can get one and all those kind of things.
Oh yeah, 100%, because I mean, what I'm doing is still relatively new. Most people, when they think of a pendulum, they think about answering questions. And that's okay, but you can do that in other ways. You can do muscle testing. You can use your intuition. You can pull tarot cards. I mean, there are a million different ways you can answer questions. You could just ask somebody what they think. There are lots of ways to answer questions. So pendulum is just one way. It can be good. And for some people, it works pretty well. For some, it doesn't. And that's cool, but that's not my jam. That's not like what I'm mostly into. I do that, but it's not like my main thing. What I like to do is I want to use the pendulum to help me shift reality in ways that are for the highest good of all concerned or for everyone. So that way you're not forcing your will. So the basic process is you take a pendulum and you spin it in a circle, and it doesn't need to be a very like large circle or a fast circle. It just needs to be like spinning in a circular motion, and it can go in any direction, clockwise or anti-clockwise. And then you just make a statement of your intention, like what you want to have happen while the pendulum is spinning. And then you just let it spin for a little bit, and then you can stop it yourself or just let it stop. And then you just move on to the next statement. And for some reason, this spinning action of the pendulum combined with your spoken word can have like a very powerful effect on reality, and it can shift things. And sometimes it will shift things a lot. Sometimes shockingly, like you wouldn't expect the result. Other times it doesn't seem to do much. So it really varies. And that's because everything has resistance to it. Some things are easier to change than others, but and you can't predict it in advance. But that's the basic process. So it's kind of similar to praying or kind of like the law of attraction, but it's a little different because it's got this spinning action of the pendulum. Now, interestingly, in some spiritual traditions, they pray with a spinning object. So like Buddhists have prayer wheels that you can spin. And then people will do a rosary. It's a circular motion of the beads, or a mala, like a mantra where you're using the beads and you're making them go around your hands. It's making a circular motion. It's just different than the spinning of the pendulum. So there's something about the spinning action of the pendulum that is important and seems to have interesting properties that differentiate it from other sorts of practices that invoke the spoken word to cause shifts and changes. There was one other aspect you asked me about, like that if they're not watching in a video, they can't see the different size and materials. And a lot of people, when they learn about pendulums, there's this common belief that, oh, it doesn't matter what the pendulum is made of. It could just be like a rusty old bolt on a string or a needle. And that's true if you're answering questions with the pendulum, because all that matters when you answer questions is that the pendulum moves. And so as long as it's moving, you can see an answer, because that's how you see the answer, is with movement. So it does not matter. But what I do is completely different, because what I do involves quote unquote energy. So if someone is sensitive to energy, if you're clairvoyant or clairsentient, or you're just kind of a sensitive being, you come in contact with one of these pendulums that I have created, you can really feel it. Like, and it's kind of surprising how much you feel it. Now, even if you're not sensitive, your body at an unconscious level can sense it. And the cool thing about the pendulums is that they can stimulate responses by the body, like healing responses. So that's another whole aspect. And part of the Pendulum Commands book is related to healing, but part of it's also about manifestation and things like that. So that's why there are all these different shapes and sizes, because each one stimulates things in a different way. And since we're dealing with energy, and we're dealing with everyone has different energy and everyone responds differently, sometimes one will work better than another. So like this really big one here, it's very good with physical issues like pain and things like that. Like my dog had an upset stomach or something the other night. I tried everything. I checked to make sure there wasn't like something wrong with her organs or something. Like I palpated her abdomen to make sure that it wasn't like a twisted gut or something. I checked to make sure she had water. I did everything that was standard. And they're like, okay, none of this is working. So instead of rushing off to the vet and in the emergency room in the middle of the night, I was like, well, let's just get the pendulum to try first. So I used this pendulum on her. And within a few minutes, she just relaxed and then she was fine. And that was like 2 weeks ago and she's totally normal. So like, that's the cool thing about this is these pendulums each have different shapes, different materials they're made of. They stimulate things in different ways and get different responses. And the last thing I'll say about that is I've experimented a lot. I've been doing this almost 10 years. So there are so many times where I use one pendulum on somebody and normally that pendulum works really well for a given thing. And person's like, well, I'm not really feeling anything or I'm not getting a response. And then I just switch to a different one and they're like, oh, that, now I feel it. Wow, that's really working. And so it really helps to have, when you're doing this kind of work, the pendulum does matter and it's good to have some variety. But you got to have at least like one good one for this work. And the best ones for this work, they have like, it's hard to describe it. I call it energy, but it's more like they provide a good stimulus. And they feel good. So if you have someone who's sensitive to energy and they come near it, they're going to like, oh, wow, I feel that and it feels good or it feels strong. And for the command, so you can do the command either in person or distance healing. So the command, it's less important, the energy of the pendulum, but it's still useful. But when you're doing like in-person stuff or if you're doing something where you're really specifically like healing on a witness card, the energy of the pendulum really matters. With the commands, it's a little less important. You still want to have a good pendulum, but that's kind of the deal with the pendulums.
What's a witness card?
Oh, thanks. So yeah, a witness card is just like a picture that helps you connect with somebody when you're doing a distance healing on them. Like, now, you don't actually technically need a witness card. Well, like in this book on the chakra section, I have a picture of a human body with the chakras on it. Well, what you can do is you can just say, okay, this picture now represents my friend or it represents me, because it's kind of hard to scan your own chakras. Mm-hmm. You say, okay, this picture is just temporarily going to represent my chakra system. And then you just take your pendulum and you hold it over the picture and you do the healing on the picture and then it gets sent to you.
Oh, wonderful.
That's kind of a witness. And you don't need it. If you're advanced like I am or some of the people who've been doing this for a long time, you really don't need it, but it is helpful for beginners, especially, or if you're doing something like chakras, or I'm doing a new course on the meridian system with pendulum alchemy. And that's like very complex system of channels or energy from Chinese medicine. So in that case, it's very helpful to have the witness card because you can really have the intention to work on a single meridian and you can follow its path, like because it creates like a virtual connection with a person. But it's just temporary. So as soon as you're done, you just say, okay, you're no longer connected to the card. You're free. And some people use a doll for this. There are practices where they have like dolls where they do the healing on the doll. Mm-hmm. And some people use like a teddy bear. Or something.
Yeah.
Or they'll say you need a photograph or name, but that's not actually true. You don't need that, to be honest. But anyway, at least, yes.
I was just curious how many pendulums you have then that you use like on a regular basis. I imagine you have a whole bunch.
Yeah. Well, I mean, since I do this for a living and I design them, I literally have like hundreds.
Oh, wow.
But you need at least one good one. So you know, some people it's kind of hard. Like you got to pay like at least, I don't know, $30 to get a good one. And then some of them are much more expensive. And I try to keep costs low, but it's just manufacturing costs have just gone up so much in the last few years. It's hard to provide the quality while still trying to keep costs. But I do try to keep it low, but try to get at least one good one that has good energy and is well designed and is has a track record of success in this work. If not, just get what you can. You can make one too. But yeah, but the more you have, the better. I mean, it's like a tool set. It's like screwdrivers or something. Most things will have just a regular slot, but then you might find this one odd screw that needs a special screwdriver. So you have a set of screwdrivers if you're a professional. But if you're just an average person who just does this occasionally, just have one. But if you're more serious about it and doing this on a regular basis and incorporating it as part of your practice, it's a tool and you want to have a good tool set. So get several that are very different from each other in their shape, their energy, their materials they're made of, to have a wide range of options available. So there isn't a set answer, one at least, one good one. And you can get a good one relatively easily. I mean, there are places too that sell good ones that are relatively inexpensive. You just got to know what you're looking for. And the main things are just never get one out of clear quartz crystal. Don't get one that's made out of pure copper. And don't get one with a chain on it. Those are the primary considerations. Other than that, most things will probably be okay. But yeah, if you're not sure, I have my website. I have lots of them on there. You can see, well, does it even look similar to something he's selling? Or just get something from a website. Or there are other people who make really nice pendulums as well for this work. And just see if you feel like you trust them. And just make sure it doesn't have a chain on it. It's not made of copper or some kind of clear glass. And yeah, you should be all right.
Yeah, you know, it's actually kind of hard to find if you go out looking for one. Because I did that after we had you on, or before, I think we had you on the first time. I went around looking for a pendulum, and Austin has pretty decent amount of spiritual shops. So I went around, and there was nothing. There was very little, and the choices were limited, and they were like either quartz crystal, like you said, or they had chains on them. Like, they weren't what I needed. And so I actually went to your website, and you have a lot, right? Do you still sell those on there? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've got lots of different ones. Yeah, so, yeah, no, it's hard. Like, I live in Sedona, and it's the same situation. Yeah. One of the stores here carries my book, and I said, well, do you want to carry my pendulums, too? And they're like, no one's going to pay that much money for a pendulum. They're just tourists. They want to spend $5 or $10. They don't want to invest $20 or $30 in a pendulum or whatever. So I was like, okay. So I don't know. I think the consciousness level needs to be changed in this whole field. Because like I said in the past, everyone just said, oh, you just can do anything on a string. It doesn't matter. So right away, that sets the bar really low. And most people aren't aware, even most people who are spiritual and using pendulums, they aren't aware of the fact that it can be an energy healing tool and that it can be a really valuable tool to have in the energy healing toolkit. And so it's just the consciousness level is not high enough among spiritual people, or the awareness around this topic that it matters, that's why it's hard just to find one in like a store.
Yeah.
Even like a crystal store that has awesome stuff overall, you're just like, where, like, these pendulums are kind of lame.
Yeah, totally. So I have another question. When you're doing the commands, do you do them out loud? Like, is it better, or can you do them in your head? Because sometimes I want to do that, but then I don't want to sound like a crazy person in front of my wife and kid, like I'm getting ready to go to work. And so I just do it in my head. But is it better to do it out loud? Because I feel like it seems more effective, because like the vibration goes out into the world or something from your voice. I don't know.
Right. So I've always said, try to do it out loud, even if it's a whisper. Because like you said, the sound waves are then going out into the spinning pendulum circle, into the vortex and into reality. And so it's becoming concrete. But there have been some people who've said to me that they only think them and they feel that they're effective. But then I've noticed that those people tend to be psychic or have some kind of psychic powers. So, you know, that might be the reason why they can get away with it. But I would say, as a general rule of thumb, try to say it, even if it's a whisper. But if it's, like you said, some situation where people are going to think you're totally nuts, you can think it. It's better than nothing. But the key thing is getting some kind of circular motion with it, because the important part is that motion, the circular motion, and getting the words somehow with that. So, yeah, generally try to say it. I learned how to talk without moving my lips like a whisper. Low, but there are definitely situations, like if you're in a courtroom or something, or you're in some place, like you said, with family, and they're already questioning what you're doing generally with your spiritual work, and then you just start saying these little mantras, they're gonna be like, oh my god, totally gone off the deep end here. So yeah, you can think it too. And sometimes you just can't speak, like maybe you lost your voice or something like that. So I think thinking it is probably the next level of it. Speaking it is ideal. Thinking it can work, potentially. It also depends how much resistance I think there is. So if there's a lot of resistance to the change that you want to have happen, I think if you speak it, it's going to be more effective because it's a stronger way of doing it. If you think it, it may not be as effective. So if there's a lot of resistance, it may be harder to overcome the resistance to what you want to have happen. So I think that the more you can speak it, the better, but thinking it is definitely a possibility. Some people say like, oh, you could just write it, but I don't think that's true, because if that was the case, then my life would not have any problems, because I've written thousands and I still use them. So I think it needs to be spoken or at least thought.
What if Tim does a pendulum command, like I witness myself feeling comfortable saying pendulum commands in front of my family or something?
Yeah, totally. Or you could say when good I idea. Witness my family being comfortable with me saying commands.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And then maybe you get them on the command bandwagon. And there are a lot of kids.
Maybe you can gift them with pendulums.
It's a good idea.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, but I hear you and I empathize. I get it. In other forms of manifestation and other practices like magic, or even like with prayer sometimes, imposing your will on reality may not be the best thing. Mm-hmm. Like you may have the best intentions and it may seem like, yeah, would be a really great thing if that occurred. But, you know, history is filled with examples of good intentions that were horrible for either the person who had them or for others who received the good intentions.
Yeah.
So that's why I feel it's important to have a safety valve, like a mechanism that you're just setting the intention that, hey, this thing is going to fail if it's not in everyone's highest good. And that's kind of like the thought system there. If you have an intention and you state that intention, then it's likely to manifest as part of the process. And it's interesting because someone challenged me and so like, well, how is it possible that you could do that if you're in a lawsuit? Because don't you want to win? And I'm like, well, it is possible to have the result be in the highest good of all. And then the result can be unexpected. It may be in your highest good to win. It may not. But I had a lawsuit, for example, that I helped somebody with where they were getting sued by this university that gave the students fraudulent loans. And so the student had to do their inner work around the conflict because there was some kind of karma there with the leader of the school or whatever. But the pendulum, it was amazing how that thing worked out, because the student won, the school lost, the school had to change their entire loan process so that they couldn't rip off other students. It changed federal law in student loans. So now this type of loan is now illegal and no school in the country can use these loans anymore. And any student who had this type of loan can now get off the hook if they go delinquent or they don't want to pay it. So the highest good of all thing can really work in ways that are super cool. So even if you feel like it's a win-lose situation, I have to win at all costs, I really encourage people to adopt this highest good of all this or something better or something along those lines. Because it number one, provides a safety valve that prevents you from imposing your will. And that allows you to ask for whatever you want, because something that seems good to me might seem immoral to somebody else. So who's to say what's right or what's wrong? I mean, some things maybe could universally be like, yeah, I want to kill that person or something, or I want them to receive harm. I mean, that might be, at least in certain culture, considered bad, but it's kind of subjective. So if you just adopt this mindset of, hey, I'm a human, I'm in human form, I'm not a saint, I'm not perfect, I have needs, wants, desires. I can use the pendulum to ask for them, and I can just say for the highest good of all concerned. And that way it's a safety mechanism that prevents me from going off the rails and asking for stuff that I shouldn't be asking for. Because if it's not my highest good, it won't work. The other thing is too, if you ask for something and you say in the highest good and it doesn't work, it gives you a chance to really reflect on it. So for example, a person recently purchased $300 worth of my courses. And then they watched all the courses, and this person's not in any of my groups or anything, but then they contacted the credit card company, said it was a fraudulent charge. Ugh. And they wanted their money back. And so I did pendulum alchemy around it for the highest good of all concerned. I want to win this, because I mean, the person watched all my courses, they downloaded all the handouts, they had consumed. So, I mean, I had done the work and they had consumed it. And so the credit card company was like, they ended up saying, no, the person's right. This was fraudulent. We're not going to honor it. Even though I showed evidence that they had bought it and they had logged in and created an account and watched everything and all this stuff. So where I'm going with this is that I was able to really let it go much more easily, because I thought, well, it just wasn't in my highest good or the highest good of all to win this. So who knows? Maybe that person all bought the courses because they're in a state of financial desperation and their life is totally falling apart and they needed help and they were desperate. Maybe it's just something they're going to have to deal with in their karma if they are just stealing. Like, who knows? I don't really know. So it really helped me become more detached around the whole thing. I was like, well, I did my part. I worked with a credit card company. I presented my case. I did Pendulum Alchemy. It didn't work. So instead of getting angry about it and frustrated and walking around for days, like, oh, damn it, I was so unfair, terrible, that person sucks. It's like, no, it's just, it wasn't in my highest good. So I was able to just process it and let it go and be more at peace with it and think, well, is there any lesson for me there? And so now I'm thinking like, well, maybe it's just this comes with the territory of, because I changed my website, so now it's easier to use credit cards. Maybe this is going to happen, or maybe it's just whatever. So that's a good thing too about the highest good of all. When it doesn't work, it kind of like gives you some space to think, well, I really put my best foot forward here when it didn't work. So maybe I need to reevaluate this or just accept it, you know?
You made me think, because something like that's happened to me before where somebody came and then received my service and I did really was very sincerely helping them. And then they went and asked the credit card for, and it was like, yeah, it personally hurts when like, oh, I put my attention and it was sincere and it's like not fair. Right. But then what I found, energy is always fair. And so like that $300 or whatever, like when you really let it go, it comes in a different way. Maybe not from that person, but it comes because it's only our attachment to like, no, this is wrong. Like you said, like walking around and stewing over it, we block that. But I found that when I do what you said, like go inward and recognize there's maybe a bigger picture that I can't see and make peace with it and let go, that energy in some way comes back to me. That's not why you let it go. You let it go because that's in your highest good to let it go. And just from your higher perspective, you realize that there's a bigger picture that you don't know. But I've had so many experiences like that, where when I let something go, then it came to me, not from that person, but from someone else or some other source.
Yeah, no, yeah, totally. I hear you. And I appreciate that because I've noticed that too, because I've been doing this now for a while. And it's really interesting. You kind of create like a healing field around yourself when you're just doing this highest good of all the time. Mm-hmm. And then, like you said, all of a sudden other things will start to happen that are not directly connected, but it can be very like beneficial. Like you said, like that sale didn't go through, but then someone will come and place another order for even more or whatever. So I found that living this kind of lifestyle, this only if in the highest good, it actually really kind of creates a nice sort of energetic like field around you that can be very good, I think, for raising your vibration and being more conscious, but also accepting that you are in a physical body and you have needs, wants, and desires. So you're not going to be perfect all the time. Just one last little point about this, and I'll try not to make it too long. So another aspect related to this is the practice of magic, which I was really into for a while. I mean, I still am in an academic sense. And in old days, if you look back at like the ancient Greeks, like the Greek papyri or something, they'll have a love spell in there that you are going to literally energetically trap this person. And it's like, you're going to make like a voodoo doll, stick needles in it. And if they don't love you, they're going to feel pain. Like that is the extreme in the past and ancient days and medieval times that people would use for manifesting via quote unquote magic. They would try to force their will. And if you read a lot of modern day books on the topic of magic, they have not really shifted from that reality. Maybe not as blatant as that example I gave you, but a lot of like forcing of the will and trying to impose your will on others. And in other practices, though, like law of attraction, it's not an issue. It's usually like someone just asking for something and trying to get in alignment with that vibration. Mm-hmm. And with prayer, it's usually just well-intentioned. So, but the thing that was in the back of my mind is that, like you said, I have diverse ideas and I'm kind of multidimensional. So I see this pendulum thing as part of a tradition of several different lineages of manifestation, from magic to prayer to law of attraction, all these things, kind of like it's drawing from that legacy. And so that's why I really wanted to put this highest good of all concern, because I never really heard that. I mean, I've heard it kind of articulated, I think, in Florence Scovel Shinn's work. I think it's where I may have even gotten the idea. Like, she was back in 1940s or something, or 1920s maybe, during the Depression. Anyway, but yeah, that's kind of like where that comes from, just to have this safety valve. I think it's important.
Yeah, if you're wanting something, you can say this or something better. That way you don't limit yourself to if there's something better than what you're asking for, right? So I thought that was clever.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Too.
Yeah, totally, totally, yeah. Because you never know. Maybe something better is coming around the corner. Because there are so many times like you get something that you want and then it turns out not to be what you thought. Like I currently have a car that I really wanted when I was a teenager. Now that I've had it, I'm kind of like, huh, I wonder, it's like I've had it now and it's all right, but it wasn't really what I imagined. So, but yeah, the whole thing is the universe or whatever, or energy, or we just don't even know sometimes. Maybe there's something even better out there. Sometimes it doesn't work and then something better occurs. I see that with people trying to get jobs, like they'll do the pendulum alchemy around getting a job and sometimes it works really well and other times it doesn't seem to work. And then in a lot of cases, I've had people tell me that they get another job offer that's even better than the first one, or they find out that the job would have been horrible if they had taken it, that the work culture is toxic, or they found out later that it was abusive and they were like, oh, thank God I didn't get that job. So yeah, I think it's important too. You can also add that on, highest good of all concern, or this or something better to make it so, because we don't really know. It could be something better out there.
Especially nowadays, the times that we're in are really transformative, and the Aquarian age is innovative and futuristic. Just all the technology that we use now, we dreamed from sci-fi movies and stuff, but we didn't really necessarily think it was possible. And so there's possibilities out there that we haven't even imagined. And so why limit ourselves? I was curious too, do you ever use AI to come up with some commands? Have you tried to see if it would be good for brainstorming ideas for commands?
Yeah, sure. I mostly think it's good for editing. Let's say you're trying to make something more pithy. You can use an AI thing. The AI is interesting. Yeah, I mean, I guess it would depend, like, what were you thinking? I've seen AI generators, but they mostly will go and search everything like Wikipedia or whatever, and then they'll come up with like a little lesson about, like, well, what are commands, like if you typed it in or something. But
yeah, I imagine because there's not a lot of people out there still that are doing what you do as far as pendulum alchemy. I guess if you asked it about creating in the style of Eric Hunter, or that's like something that I would do, or give your website, what would be some good pendulum commands for such and such? And I would just be curious to see what pops up and if you felt resonant with it, or if you're like, that's not my style, or you're like, oh yeah, that is similar to how I feel.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think it's not a problem if you want to do that, or if you know how to do that. I think the main thing is you just find something that feels right to you and that you just speak it and spin the pendulum. Doesn't really matter if it was me or you or a robot or a computer that made it. The key thing is like speaking it and then, or thinking it and spinning the pendulum while you're saying it. So yeah, I don't have a problem with that. I think it's kind of cool. And that's another thing about this book too. I really want people to make their own commands. And if they need to use AI to do that, do it. But otherwise, that's why I put in this whole chapter, like a simple way to make pendulum commands. Because every day people are asking like, well, what command do I use? And it's like, well, yes, it's really cool if you have someone like me who will sit down and think through a topic and try to come up with commands that A, I know work, and or B, are related that AI might have trouble doing. Like they wouldn't know about the blue-green thing, or they might not be able to. I don't know if AI could do this yet. Maybe at some point it can, but at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if it's AI or me or you, a command is still powerful if you just follow the process of saying it or thinking it and spinning the pendulum. And it doesn't matter who made it or how it's made. And so that's a big part of my thing is I want to empower people to make their own commands. And that's why I wrote the book and put that chapter in there. I've been trying in several different iterations to come up with the simplest way to possible to make effective pendulum commands. And so the formula I came up with is favorite word or phrase plus your desired outcome. And then I gave suggestions for word and phrases like decrease, increase, eyewitness, send love, things like that. So if you just pick one of those, you could say, send love to the mailman, send love to my mom, send love to my bank account, send love to my car. And then you just have like one, you don't have to know anything. So yeah, I think AI is cool. I think it definitely is powerful. I don't know if it can write commands yet. I haven't actually tried it, to be honest, but it is good at editing commands if you want to edit them. But it doesn't matter where the command comes from. If you make it up, somebody else makes it up. You could take a book about the law of attraction or they have affirmation statements, mm-hmm. or you can take a mantra that's from a religion and just throw in "for the highest good of all concerned" and spin your pendulum while doing it, then it becomes a command, you know? So you can use a lot of different things. It doesn't matter where they come from, per se.
I like that your book covers a lot of ground, actually. It's really useful for anyone who's on a spiritual or healing or self-development path, because a lot of those things are things, because I'm a hypnotherapist, what somebody might come for who really wants to continue to grow and develop themselves. You cover all of those kind of categories. So somebody could just kind of dedicate, like, this year, I want to heal and grow and evolve, and then take your book out and go through the different areas and make a lot of shifts, I imagine.
Yeah, no, totally. Exactly. And I also, for each section, like each chapter, I tried to write a little mini essay at the beginning, mm-hmm. help people get some insights into the topic that they might not have. And also to kind of explain like limitations or other things you might need to consider. So, for example, a lot of people are asking me about addiction, because addiction is such a horrible problem, like in the United States right now and around the world. So many people are on opioids and stuff. And so I've had a lot of experience helping people with addiction things. And so I have some thoughts about that. So I tried to address that in the mini essay in the beginning, like, hey, these are some of the factors about addiction that you need to be aware of. And don't be naive. There's going to have to be more than just pendulum likely to make this work. And here, some other things you might want to consider about this. And same thing with like back pain. Some people use the pendulum and the back or shoulder pain will go away. Like the other day, a guy messaged me and said, I've had shoulder pain for a few years. I used the book and it went away and it's been 2 weeks now. So it's possible. But other times you might need to see a chiropractor or an acupuncturist or a medical doctor, or do something else, some kind of alternative healing thing or massage or something. So I try to address that in the beginning to really help, like you said, like there's a topic that you're interested in. I try in a very short, succinct way, kind of give you the lay of the land, like, okay, well, here's where the pendulum seems to work best. Here are some other things you might want to consider, you know, that are not necessarily pendulum that can also help, because the goal is to solve the problem.
Yeah. So, actually, I like those little essays that you wrote in the beginning. Like, I'm a twin flame, and so I know that journey. And I read what you wrote, and I was like, oh, this is good. You're not just like, oh, manifest your twin flame. You're saying, like, hey, this is not all bliss. It's really about spiritual growth. And I was like, yes, right on, right on. I'm glad that you said all of that first, and you just didn't, people who are idealizing these things and then just saying they're going to take a pendulum and their life's going to be a fairy tale. So I thought, yeah, I read some of the things that you wrote in the beginning, and I was like, yeah, I'm glad that you said those things first and not just give the commands without saying
oh
that.
Yeah, thanks. So I appreciate it. Yeah, that twin flame soulmate chapter, I mean, I've been in both relationships. My twin flame passed away 2 years ago. I don't know if you know that.
I'm sorry. No, yeah, I didn't cancer. Know that. No, it's, wow.
I've been through the process. So anyone who tells me that twin flames are all roses, you haven't done your spiritual work yet.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. And it's not to say that twin flame relationships aren't incredible. And if you're on the spiritual path, you can manifest one of those. That's great. But there's a lot of people out there who are like, oh, my life sucks. I've had all these crappy relationships. I just want to get a soulmate or a twin flame and all my problems are solved. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, maybe not necessarily. You might be bringing a whole host of new issues, but they're at least going to be, you'll be more conscious about your evolution. But some twin flame relationships are amazing, just like some normal relationships are amazing. But yeah, I tried to bring my experience to bear, bring my understanding of the topics. And like you said, it's not going to be just the generic, I did a 5-minute internet search on this topic and giving you what everyone is trying to sell you on it. I've actually thought about this stuff for the last 30 years. So it's like I'm distilling a lot of hopefully wisdom into the topic and bringing it in. And it's some other chapters too, like the chakra chapter and the color chapter. There are things in there that I don't really think are in many other places or very few people are aware. Like with the chakras, for example, most healers use the incorrect colors for the throat chakra and the third eye. And that's because the color system that most healers have adopted is the colors of the rainbow that, what's his name, Isaac Newton, when he first reflected light through a prism in the 1700s, He used the series of terms. They learn it in schools like Roy B. Viv, like blue, indigo, violet. And healers have just accepted that at face value. But the problem is that since the 1700s, the meaning of blue and indigo is no longer the same as it was. So most healers have the wrong colors written down for the chakra. And it's close. It's close enough that it would work. But the throat is actually blue-green. And the third eye is blue. If you take the blue and indigo and translate it into modern day language, what that meant, that it's blue, green, and blue. And it makes sense because the heart is green and then the third eye is blue and the throat is the confluence of your feelings and your thoughts, your expression. So it's blue and green. It's like a mixture of both. And then the third eye being blue, that's the wisdom. And so a lot of spiritual traditions have blue as the spiritual color, like the Hindus have all those blue gods. The Mayans painted the sacrifice victims blue. So it's a subtle tweak, but it's in the book. And it's interesting because not many people are aware of that.
I've never heard that. Go ahead.
Yeah.
No, I just said I've never heard that before. Yeah.
No,
Yeah, and it's interesting that you're bringing this up. I was actually going to ask you about the blue-green thing, because you do say that people should send the blue-green light or the blue-green energy when they want something to change, right? Can you kind of describe that?
Yeah, sure. So in my view, blue-green is the energy of life. It's like the energy of vitality. It's the energy of the sun at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The first forms of life were blue-green algae. As I said, the heart and the throat and the third eye, the blue-green in the throat is expression, and life is the expression of physical and spiritual energy coming together. So there's something about this blue-green that's very, very powerful as a healing energy. And with the pendulum command, you can invoke the archetypal force of that blue-green light and send it to stimulate healing responses. So when you're doing like a color healing, you're not literally sending the light. You're invoking the archetypal force of that energy and then sending it out. And then that is what's causing the effect. So yeah, the blue-green in my teachings, it's something that wasn't recognized before I got in this area. They used the old Linnaeus colors. But I realized that it's the throat chakra, it's expression, and life is expression. It's the expression of the forces of biology and spirit. And it's also like correlates with the midday sun, and it's kind of involved. So I can't go into all of it now, but that's the gist of it. And it seems to have a very powerful effect. It's also the energy of idealization. So like, if you want something to become ideal, like you want to have an amazing experience. So for example, this person who helps me a lot, she was going to Disneyland and she was really concerned about it being a nightmare. So she was like, send blue-green energy to the lines moving quickly, send blue-green energy to all the people there that will have an amazing experience. And she had an awesome time. It all worked out. So it also can make what you want reality in a sense. So that's why I use that one a lot.
Cool. You're very prolific. You've created, like, I've seen a lot of different courses where you combine the pendulum with different modalities. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about some of maybe your favorite courses or offerings that you have?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. I mean, I love them all. But no, I have a wide, like you said in the beginning, I have very wide ranging interests. And also, there are a lot of topics that I think are really good for this. So in terms of, like, I have on my website, they're organized into groupings. And I have one grouping are kind of like beginner ones just to get you started. But then I have what are called foundation courses. And I think that those are really important for anyone who's trying to learn this. So, for example, color healing. I have a whole course on color healing. And the course has protocols in it, steps that you can do with color healing that aren't in the book. But the book also has very detailed information about color healing. So you can combine the two, the course and the book, and they complement each other. But that there is like a very, very valuable course because you can send these forces of color and they can really cause shifts and changes to occur that are much more powerful than just using a command without color. So that was something that we discovered over time. Because we were using blue-green for a long time, but then we started realizing, wait, what about other colors? what if I send red or what if I send yellow? And then, so we were kind of doing that with chakras, but then I said, well, what if a situation needs a certain color stimulus to move forward or to progress? And we found that it can actually work. Like a really cool one is if you're waiting for, at a restaurant for a table, you can send red or purple energy and do a command. Like I said, red energy now to getting a table quickly now. Or I send purple. Purple is kind of like an advanced thing, you know, red and blue. So red is like driving force and blue is higher spiritually, kind of mixing the two. Mm-hmm. So we talk about that in the color course, how you can mix colors and send color and different ways you can send colors and use them. So I think that one's super valuable. Another one that's really cool is the time machine healing. And it has, it's really potent. Scientists have shown that time is not linear, and that the past exists forever, at least mathematically. So in theory, you can go back in time. Now, the future may exist already. I personally don't quite buy that. I believe it only extends out a few seconds, maybe, or maybe a split, like half second. There are these precognition studies done by Dean Radin that show that. But the past apparently, at least scientifically, seems to be real. And it seems to just continually exist forever. So if something bad happened in your past, you can use the pendulum to, through your conscious intention, go back in time and do healing on it. And there have been some pretty amazing things that have happened with that technique. Then some of them are kind of mind-blowing at times. But yeah, so that's another really valuable one that I think is super cool, because you can play with this idea that time's not linear and you can really shift things and have some pretty cool healings that happen. Say there was someone you never got to say goodbye to, or you had a bad relationship and they passed away and you're like, well, there's nothing I can do now. Well, you can do the time machine healing and go back and work on that. There have been some situations where something hasn't become fixed yet in time because not enough people have witnessed it. And then you can cause shifts and changes there too. And that there are these really interesting studies they did on exams where they gave students tests and they put them in a box. And then half the students, they gave them the answers to the test after the test, and the other half they didn't. And the students, then they, once they saw the answers, they gave them a little time to study the answers, and then they collected everything and then they graded the test. And then they found that the students who saw the answers after the test did better than those on average who didn't. And this was done by a Cornell University statistician, this guy, Daryl Bem. Anyway, so it threw skeptics for a loop. They're now trying to change the whole field of statistics so that this can't be true. But anyway, so the cool thing was that it's just like quantum physics. You have a random number generator and you don't look at the results and you tell someone to think of the number one a bunch of times. Number one can come up more commonly than zero, even though it's a random number, because no one's witnessed it yet. So with the time machine healing, you can do some of that too. We had this one crazy example. Now, I can't 100% prove this, but it was interesting. Many years ago, there was a shooting in Las Vegas. And when it first happened, I told everyone in my time machine course, let's do a healing on this to witness fewer people dying. And then the next day, they were like, oh, there was a mistake in the death count. There was one fewer person who died. Now, I don't know like if that was due to us or not, but I was like, well, who knows? Maybe. So I don't know. It's kind of interesting. And you get all kinds of really interesting results. That's another one I really like. But there's so many that I like on there. Yeah, it's hard for me to pick favorites, but the foundation ones are definitely ones that I think everyone should do. There's resonance healing that if you're doing law of attraction work, it helps you make your thoughts and feelings get in alignment vibrationally without having to use willpower. You use the pendulum instead to align yourself with your thoughts and your feelings. Because there's so much in the law of attraction about maintaining your vibration. But it becomes impossible after a while. You're like, well, I'm pissed off right now. I can't maintain this high vibe of being a millionaire because I'm really pissed. Like my life sucks or the traffic's terrible or whatever. And you're like, I'm going to maintain my vibration. I'm going to maintain my vibration. It's one of those things that just doesn't work. But with this resonance healing, you can do it on an energetic level. And it can really have amazing results that are super cool. Yeah, I'm trying to think. Then there are specialty courses. Two that are really cool. Yeah, one of my favorites is, people are scared of it, but I really love it. It's the ghost hunting and paranormal investigation. But that one really should be called Mediumship 101. It's all about how to determine if you want to do healing on spirits or communicate with spirits, or if you're living in a haunted place, or that's an issue. We weren't really sure what to call it exactly, but a lot of people have issues where either they're living in a place where there's some funky stuff going on, or they have a workplace that's got weirdness, or they want to communicate with a dead relative or something. Or it's so like, how do you do that safely? How do you know how to do it? When do you want to intervene? When do you not? When do you want to just leave it alone? So that's another course that's kind of interesting and cool, but it's one of the ones that not many people watch because they're scared of the topic. They're like, oh God, ghosts. I had a lot of paranormal things when I was younger. And so I did it with a person who's an expert on paranormal things. So yeah, I have a wide range of things in there. Yeah, I could go on. I love them all. So yeah, so anyway.
Yeah, that was a great question. Thanks for asking, Tiana.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, so along those same lines, we're actually out of time. Can you go ahead and let our listeners know where they can find out more about you, your courses, your books, your pendulums, all that?
Yeah, sure. So my website is pendulumalchemy.com. It's just one word. And then I also have a Facebook group. So if you go on there, you can search Pendulum Alchemy on Facebook, and I'm there. And it's like one of the sweetest groups on Facebook. There's no negativity, no fighting, no craziness. It's all high vibe. And I have experts on there who will literally just give you their help for free. I have all these certified students, me, others, all these people learning, and they just constantly are helping, sending healing, sharing advice, answering questions. So it's a great place to learn that's safe, high vibe, and everything is tested out there. I also have an Instagram page. It's Pendulum Alchemy, so you can find it that way. So yeah, but the pendulumalchemy.com is the main source of information, and it links to everything else. Yeah, so that's it. That's how you can find me. Unless that's you come great. To Sedona and just see me walking around.
Yeah. Look for the guy that's talking to himself. That's talking to himself and has a pendulum.
The pendulum. Yeah. Who is that mysterious man?
I love that you created a thriving community on Facebook. And I think that that's really of the times, again, the Aquarian age is that we are kind of all helping each other and connecting. And especially something like this that, again, maybe not everybody gets to really have that support network. And for people who are just learning, it's really great.
Yeah, no, can I make a little quick comment about that? Mm-hmm. It's so funny because I never wanted to be on Facebook. I never even used Facebook, but I just kind of got into it. And then the group got really popular, and it still is popular. And everyone's like, oh, Facebook is dead. It's no longer. But I'm like, honestly, I've got thousands of people in this group, and they're really into it. And so I thought about it a lot. And I was like, I wonder if my group is a healing antidote to the craziness of Facebook, because my group is so different than every other pendulum group on Facebook. Because I tried to join a few other pendulum groups, and it was just so, you make a post and everyone attacks you and says you're dumb. And I was like, oh my God, this is so bad. So I was wondering if maybe it's trying to raise the vibe of Facebook. But yeah, it's interesting. But
yeah. Well, your group is reflective of your energy. And so that's why. Yeah. No, really. But your energy calls to people who vibrate at that. And so that speaks a lot about you.
Yeah. So hopefully, you never know with the Facebook, one day they might pull the plug, but hope for now it's working. So fingers crossed. And yeah. I looked at TikTok once. I was very confused. So I don't know what else I would do without the Facebook. So anyway.
Then it'll be all telepathic.
Yeah, it'll be all telepathic at that point. So yeah. No, thanks.
Well, thanks for coming on again. It was really wonderful to talk to you.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate both of you. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Beyond the Illusion. I'd like to say thank you very much to Eric for taking the time to talk with us and for sharing his gifts and knowledge with us. If you'd like to find out more about Eric and his offerings, you can find him at pendulumalchemy.com. Thanks to everyone that made this podcast possible, produced and hosted by Tim Howe and Tiana Roser, music by Casey Henson. For more information about us or to access past episodes, please visit beyondtheillusionpodcast.com. Thank you to everyone that left a rating for us. This really does help other people find us. Thanks again, and take care. And if you're still listening, I will say that Eric's pendulums from his website are really, really nice. I have a couple right here, and they're some of my most treasured possessions at this point. Take care.